Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is December 7th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And Tim, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Our precious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to serve you. Lord, we bring this broadcast before you this morning, and we ask that you would empower it to comfort your people, to reach those who need conversion, to impart wisdom, Lord, through your words, through your thoughts. Lord, that we would be the tools of your justice and of your justification for the righteous ones. Lord, we ask that you'd cover your people with your hand and protect and keep them and prosper them in the midst of this adversity that surrounds us. Lord, we know that our deliverer is Jesus Christ, and that through him all things are accomplished, and that by this name we must be saved. Lord, we pray that we just lift up things as they go forward, Lord, that your ends will be accomplished. And Lord, I pray personally that I might live to see your enemies be your footstool. Lord, I just ask that you'd give us all these things and more. Lord, fill our cup to the overflowing point. Bless each member on this broadcast this morning as your plans permit, Lord, that we would be, and every listener, that they would be accomplished in the things of Jesus Christ and of his heavenly kingdom. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. I don't know what to start off with. If we want to start off with illegal alien councilwoman arrested or assassinations. I'll just throw it out there. Anybody have anything specific that they wanted to start off with this morning?
Well, I like Sam's prayer there. Fill our cup till it runneth over. It's important that we remember that, you know, he never runs out. It's all his. And he wants what's best for us, and he wants us to look to him for our Savior, our example, our provider, and he wants us to ask. He's waiting on us to ask, to look to him for our problem.
Good point. Yeah, very good point. I agree with you. It's you know, it's something that I don't think people do near enough.
But, yeah, like I said, it's hard to know where to start on all the news, because, boy, they're busy.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is. I mean, I was reading this last night. Boston first former illegal alien councilwoman arrested on corruption charges days after voting to reaffirm city sanctuary city. A Boston city councilwoman who was the first former illegal alien to serve in the position has been arrested by federal authorities on corrupt charges just days after she voted to reaffirm Beantown's sanctuary city status. And, you know, this was a Tina Fernandez Anderson, 45-year-old African Muslim who illegally immigrated to the U.S., came from Cape Verde, became a U.S. citizen in 2019. But, yeah, I mean, reading the article, what do people expect? I mean, it's like, I mean, you look at what these people stand up for and what their policies are and what they're running on. And, it's based on corruption. What do people want to have a different outcome? It's just, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling, but they're making a kind of a big deal out of it. And, you know, I'm looking for these sanctuary cities to be shut down. They need to. I mean, it's, you know, I just don't you know, you try to figure out how things are going to play out with, you know, this whole immigration thing. And, you know, there's just a lot of different directions that it could go. But, you know, I think that one of the things is you see in the stuff that's coming out that, you know, illegal is illegal. And these sanctuary cities are going to be no more. I mean, we've gotten there's people that Denver's supposed to be a sanctuary city. And they're already talking, and you know, you want that to be a sanctuary city, and you want to protect these people. Well, yeah, that's a violation of the law, and you could be arrested. I mean, and they're talking about going after the governors of some of these places. So I don't know. It's going to be it'll definitely be interesting.
I mean, you started the whole talk with this as an illegal alien. So she started out by breaking into our house.
Exactly.
If you're dumb enough to think that she's going to help you fix the faucet, you know, while she's in your house after she broke in, well, hi, Dan.
The door's off the hinges, but she's going to fix the faucet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that these sanctuary cities, I mean, they have two choices, and it's like they can either straighten up and fly right and shut them down, or they'll be destroyed from within. Those locusts that have come in there that they're protecting are literally eating it out. I mean, it's like they're you know, when it's a shell, they move on, and it's like,
yeah, once you stop pumping in life to it, and normally in the form of money, you know,
exactly.
It's not going to stay there.
Yeah, so they're on their way out. They just aren't evidently intelligent enough to see it, or there's another plan there that they think they have that God's laughing about. So.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, and then I seen that Russia to station new hypersonic missile systems in Belarus, and I've been trying to keep an eye on what's going on over there with Russia. But I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if anybody else has noticed it or not, but it's been you're hearing the word nuclear weapons. And the chatter of them being used an awful lot lately. And, you know, I sure don't like that.
No. Well, and it's, you know, there's a lot of these things going on all over the world as far as this unrest. And we were talking here the other day about wars and rumors of wars that our Bible talks about. And, you know, if you just go down through it, you've got the Ukrainian war, you've got, you know, the war on drugs, the war on the wars between people and the illegal alien war. You've got there's just so many. And my goodness, is there any shortage of anywhere you look? I mean, you love to hang the word war on everything. You know, I mean, the transgenders are at war with the regular people. It's all around us, and it's going on all over the place. Yeah. I was just reading one that an article that Biden was spending on trans procedures like crazy, and it was kind of an overview, and basically the thought was demonically possessed politicians are making war against U.S. citizens. So there's another war, you know. I mean, it's we've got wars in the heavens, we've got wars on our plane, we've got that kind of wording all over the place, and I think it ties in there to what we read in our Bible, if we, you know, just do a little bit of seeing with our eyes.
Yeah, and it's all over. I was talking with Derek this week from up in Canada, and, you know, he sent me a picture this morning, and it was, you know, white people sleeping on the streets of Toronto. And, you know, it just talking about, I didn't realize how bad things were. Well, I've been realizing it for quite some time, but man, things are bad up in Canada. I mean, and you know, homeless population, and it started. I mean, I'm not going to say that it started with it, but a lot of their problem has been these illegals that have just come in and taken over the jobs and the housing. A couple weeks ago from church, I played a short video clip about, you know, a lady that was sleeping in a tent there and forced out, just they couldn't afford it. And people are losing their jobs, and up there it's the same thing that's happening here, is them subsidizing the wages for the workers, where if you're hire an you know, an illegal or an immigrant, the government pays 30% of their wages. I think it's 30-35%. I can't remember exactly, but there's a lot of these programs. Now they don't they really try to keep that quiet here in the United States, and I think that they, you know, I think that they believe that there will be an uprising if people actually knew how much money these illegals are getting. I mean, they're getting, you know, what, $5,000, $8,000 per person for housing, and you know, not even, and then they're paying for their hotel rooms, but they're giving them just, I mean, they're giving these Haitians money like it's water. I mean, and I think if people really actually knew how much money we were pumping into these illegals, that you would have a revolution overnight.
Well, it's true. And I just seen an interview the other day, and they were talking about, well, it's not okay to steal from something or steal from a grocery store if you're starving to death, or it's not okay to anything else, but... the unsaid words were, but it's okay for them to steal from you and rob you blind when they come in and run you out of your home and out of your job and out of every other thing. And they come in illegally, by the way. They break the law to do that. They do all these other things that are not, at the very least, they're not moral, but they're mostly illegal. And that's all fine. And they put a different stamp on it. But if you stand up for yourself, or if you take any part in resistance, then you are you're a lawbreaker, or you're an evil person, or you are, you know, you don't care about people, or it's like, we got some terminology issues here going on.
And Tim, I think the more that happens, the more opportunity it gives us to go back to the scripture and share with our unbelievers, with those that still have their eyes closed, that, hey, we've seen this here. The alien among you goes higher and higher, and you go lower and lower. And, you know, that's that God of the Old Testament applying that Old Testament principle in this new Jerusalem. But he's applying it to the same people. And I think it gives us an opportunity, because these things are happening. You know, I'm sitting here listening, and it's all our fault as a people, because we've turned from God. We started out honoring Him, and as a people, we've turned away from that. And but it seems like there's an awakening going on. People are waking up to those things. You mentioned all the money that's been spent. You know, when the hurricane hit Western North Carolina, and the feds didn't do anything for, what, 10 or 12 days. And then it came out after that. That's because they're spending millions on these illegals. And they're saying, well, we don't – and they just come out and say it. Well, we don't have any money left. We spend it all on the illegals, on the immigrants. I'm sorry, the immigrants. And that's being exposed. Things that worked in the past for the enemy, they're not working as well. And I think come mid-January, we are going to see some changes, some numbers of what has been spent on these illegals by this administration that hates America and hates Christians and hates Jesus Christ. And I think we're going to see some changes. I hope so.
Paul, you're awful quiet this morning. What do you have to say?
All right, fell asleep. Not a whole lot. It's a chaos kind of thing, and it's all because we turned our back on God, and He's sending this upon us. The only thing, you know, Trump ain't going to fix it. When the American people want a righteous God and righteous thing, and they, when they repent, things will really change. And I think they voted, and I think they're asking some of the right questions, but we're far from being there. You know, and I don't care for the globetrotting that Trump's doing either. He's going sending no China and Russia all these ultimatums and crap like that. But the problem is, God told us to make no alliance with another nation. We should come home, put up a wall, and take care of ourselves and get our production back in. And if get some preachers that said, won't say, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, this false God that we serve, this U.S. government, is taken over by default because the people turn to them rather than to God. I can remember when I was a kid, they used to have prayer meetings in the summer for rain and stuff like that. Now they got this valley and all these great big wheels going around their field, and they don't need them no more. You know, everything we have done has been to get rid of righteousness, you know, in my opinion.
I feel the same way. I think there's a lot of things going on that are just up and down all over the place. One of the things I thought was interesting is I thought, you know, I don't know if anybody else has noticed it, but Biden is the new face of everything bad. You know, I mean, it's like Biden did this, Biden did that. And, you know, at the end of the day, not to put too fine a part on it, you know, point on it, but the guy's very incompetent. But Proverbs 17 says that the beginning of strife, 14 through 16 says the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. One who justifies the wicked and one who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Why is there money in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? And I was like, you know, they think they're wise, and they just print whatever money they want. They think they're going to buy their way, spend their way out of it. And of course, if it doesn't work, well, they just got some scapegoat that they can blame. And I'm not, you know, supporting Biden or anything. I'm just saying it's just interesting how that works out, how they support those people, or how they, you know, one minute they're supporting them, the next minute they're blaming them. You know, it's like, so there's definitely a deeper hand there, a deeper evil one that's working against the plan. Another war.
Rothschild said, I care less who you put in position of government. He who controls the money controls the country. And if you want the answer, that's where it's at, because they're printing money that don't even exist and pulling all this on us, you know. And it's way bigger than Biden. He's just a puppet. And Harris, a whole bunch of them. They're all, you know, I'd hate to be part of that club because they'll turn on you in a minute.
Well, we're seeing it going on right now. I mean, they're just, who gets the blame? Who, you know, they're rolling around and doing all that. I did, you know, going back to these sanctuary cities, we see that. I mean, it's like some of these guys, they just stand like they're some kind of fiefdom or some kind of kingdom on their own, you know, and it's like, God's fixing to knock them off their pedestal.
What else you seeing going on down there where you're at, Josh?
Well, it was frigid this morning. Got down to 33 degrees.
Oh my goodness! Rough. You guys probably about froze to death down there, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was, there was a frost and all. I mean, it was. Just listening, you know, and to Tim's point, and looking at it, and it's true that unfortunately where we're at right now is money is what's driving most people. You know, like I said, if you expose how much money the illegals are costing, then people will get fired up. You know, it's not anything. We can't bring the country together and have them all be incensed and ready to change something because of all the, you know, the kidnapping and the human trafficking and all the crime that comes along with these folks that are illegal. There's no record of them. They're not supposed to be here, but yet they are. And, you know, that's not enough to make us do something. Just the fact of loving our neighbor and not wanting their houses broken into and them to be robbed and children taken off, you know, it's got to be, well, when it costs us enough money to make a difference. All the critters and their relationships that you're talking about, and them turning on each other, all it backs up to money. It's what's driving everything, because we're so far out of line that, you know, unfortunately, most of us, that's what we base our decisions on. And so, you know, we need something more predictable than praying for rain. So, yeah, we're going to put in this irrigation system so that we can. You know, I was sitting here this morning, it's lightly raining, and I've ever more got a mess in my driveway that I created. It's my fault. But, you know, and I have prayed that we don't get this rain, but also recognize that there might be a bigger reason that we need this rain. And so if it's meant and it rains, I'm going to be thankful for the rain, and I'm just going to make it work, you know, because I truly believe that God has a better plan than mine. He knows what's going on better than what I do. And I don't want to be in control because it wouldn't go swell, you know. So we got to, when we don't get just what we want, we got to recognize that he has a bigger plan. And we know we got his word that he worked all things for our good. And, you know, there's a surety that comes with that because we're not in control. Can you imagine if you felt the burden of taking care of everything in the world, you know, or even just your family, if you didn't have God to count on to take care of your family, you know, whenever you're off wherever traveling out of their home alone, how could you bear that pressure knowing that there's nobody there protecting the most
right.
valuable things you got, your family? There's no way I'd want to be in that spot.
No, exactly. I know what you mean. I mean, that's a, you know, usually the, you know, the first thing that we do when we, you know, going on a trip or you're leaving your family is, you know, pray with your family, pray for your family, you know, pray for them to be protected. And, you know, there's, you know, we've got to remember that. And, but man, it'd be, if you didn't have that, you know, me as a Christian, if I didn't have that, it'd be, it'd be tough. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you don't take lightly. And I get it. I mean, it's like, you know, I say that, you know, because, like about the monetary funds, and if people had it, there would be an uprising, but that's what it is. And that's where people are at. You know, it'd be a lot nicer if we just, you know, said no and people put a stop to it, but it's, you know, I mean, it's, we're just not to that point. And, you know, I think people have got it too easy, I think.
Well, we don't love our neighbors. We love ourselves more than we love our neighbors. And so as long as it's just affecting them and it's not affecting me, well, then, hey, that's not that big a deal. But when it goes to costing me money, it goes to affecting me, well, then it's a problem, you know. And we've seen that plenty in all kind of different situations.
Yeah, that righteousness was mentioned earlier, and that's what the nation needs to learn. We used to know it. De Tocqueville wrote about it. He saw it when he came over in the early 1800s. But, you know, Isaiah 26:9, the second part says, "When the earth experiences your judgments, O Lord, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." And that reminds me, you know, you can learn it the easy way, or you can learn it the hard way. And I think those of us now have learned it the easy way. You know, not that our life's been easy, but you know, maybe people have, you know, they've shared the gospel with us, and we've made decisions and changed our lives, and are trying our best to speak righteousness, right? To sow righteousness, His righteousness, His will, Your will, not ours, O Lord. You know, even though that, you know, we need that money for the gas bill and the electric bill and the grocery bill like everybody else does, it's not, you know, the almighty dollar. We try to keep it in perspective. But the judgments are coming. And as His word says, it's the world's going to learn righteousness. It's going to learn it because His judgments are coming. I think these invasions, this crime, this lawlessness that we have in this nation, this horrible economy, I think those are part of His judgments on His people, to give them the opportunity to learn righteousness, to learn that, hey, it's not, you know, how well your 401k is doing, but it's, you know, as was said, did your family make that safe trip? You know, didn't I look after them? And don't I look after them? And He wants the praise. He wants the honor, the acknowledgement. You know, just had a beautiful sunrise this morning. And I just have to wonder how many people say, "Thank you, Lord. Beautiful sunrise. Good job. Good job, boss. Good, beautiful day. Thank you." And Josh, just like you mentioned with the rain, man, it'd be nice not to have this rain, let this mud puddle clean up, but He knows best. He knows best, but I think, you know, I think Isaiah 6 is coming.
Those opportunities, like, we're we, us, Josh, Richard, Jason, we're spoiled because we have more of a relationship with God. And, you know, you're talking about the rain. I was thinking about, you know, being out there on a tractor, bailing as fast as you can, watching the fluid come, you know, right towards you over the next ridge over there. You know, and what are we doing? You know, it's not, we know we got to be praying. That's what we're doing. But a lot of folks don't even have the opportunity. Like, they don't know God to be able to have that conversation, to be able to have him answer our prayers and to have those faith building moments, you know, that that we have as just a daily walk of life, you know, to be able to see somebody's hands be healed before you, you know, a problem that, you know, lady had all her life, and, you know, to see the circulation back in her hands and those be normal after an hour during a prayer service. Like, I wouldn't trade anything in the world for that. And, we do take that for granted, all the things that have put us where we're at, all those experiences and conversations that come from having a relationship with God and us being able to see what he's doing, because we know, and we ask him and we thank him. That's a blessing to us. That's not this day and time. That's not normal.
I think that, you know, we talk about 2 Chronicles 7:14 a lot. And I think when that happens, it occurred to me the other day that, well, actually, yesterday I was doing some thinking, and it was like, you know, Isaiah 52 is the situation where all asleep, or not all of us, but, I mean, God's people. And he, you know, that's that call, awake, awake. And he says, but I like it. Read Isaiah 52. I think you're right in the middle of this time again. You know, I mean, we see a circular slavery, return to God, redemption, and, you know, execution of God's either wrath or prosperity on his people when they don't do their right, when they don't do right. And he said, you know, that we were sold for nothing and we'll be redeemed without money. And I think that, that redemption process is sometimes kind of it's a scary thing when we see things going around on us. And I think it's on the way. I think Isaiah 52 is happening. We see more people awaking. We see these different studies showing that even this new generation that, you know, some people really don't have much hope for, they're turning to Christ. I mean, there's things going on there. They're claiming Christianity. They're claiming Jesus Christ. They're seeing these things go on, and they're awake, you know. And I think when we see that, it should be a real sign of hope for us of the things to come, that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is on the way, that Isaiah 52 is on the way, that God is declaring them, you know, that God declares. I mean, we're seeing that. We're seeing all around us that those who rule over Israel, the true Israel, that they howl, that they revile the name of Jesus Christ, that they revile the name of God. And he said, because they do that, therefore my people shall know my name. So, and he said, here I am. I'm going to do what you want to do, God. So I think we have great reason for hope. I think it's on the way. I think there's, like anything else, he likens a lot of that redemption to childbirth and that kind of stuff, and there's going to be some what do you want to call it, bumps or pain involved there, but it's on the way.
Well, so much of the time for us to do right, we've got to be in that pain. You know, he's got to be our only option. There's a naturopath that my wife talks to pretty regularly, and he's been able to do Christian man, and thankfully been able to help a lot of folks with different things. And he says normally, like with his cancer patients and all, he only gets them whenever they've done everything else and nothing else has worked, you know. So he gets the worst of the worst, and he's their last choice, their last option, you know, because the medical establishment has done all they can do for them and sent them home to die. And I was just thinking about, you know, so much of the time that's where we've got to get, is where we have nowhere else to turn other than God. Unfortunately, it's looking in the scripture. You see it time and time again. You know, that's the only time a lot of us that our pride can be broken down, so that we will cry out and recognize that He is the only way.
Well, and I think that, God, you know, He does. And how many times have we heard it where, you know, people say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done everything that I can do. Now is all we can do is pray. And that's all I can do is pray is, you know, like prayer is powerless and like it's worthless. You know, that needs to be the first thing that we're doing and not the last thing that we're doing. And I think God knows that too. I mean, it's when we have a problem or when somebody has something and, you know, the first thing that we do is take it to Him in prayer. He honors that and He respects that. I mean, it should be the first thing that we do, not the last thing that we do. He is a jealous God.
Amen. Amen. And His word tells us that. Isaiah 19:22 says, the Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and He will respond to them and will heal them. Who's He healing them from? He's healing them from what He put upon them. And you know, many times when we pray, what's one of the things we do? We confess our sin. Lord, if I've got sin in my life, forgive me. We do that. We return to Him. And that should be, like you men are saying, that should be first and foremost, not last. Things are out of order. When we put Him first, when He's the priority, then everything changes. Everything changes. Tim, you were mentioned about this awakening, Isaiah 52, awake, awake. I saw an actual news report yesterday. Print book sales in the United States, print book sales are up 1%. You know, everybody's doing Kindles and reading everything online and all that. So print books are up 1%. However, the Christian Bible, sales of the Christian Bible, print Bibles were up 22% over last year.
Wow.
And That was Fox News. Had a quote from this 28-year-old who recently bought her first Bible and was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, said she felt it symbolized, I was starting a walk with God. Starting a walk with God. How about that? She goes on, the quote goes on and says, and this is a 28-year-old, I felt something was missing. It's a combination of where we are in the world, general anxiety, and the sense that meaning and comfort can be found in the Bible. And I was encouraged by that, 22% up, where general sales are up 1%. And I think that shows that people are doing that. People are, you know, the unchurched, the people that don't have anything, that just don't have a clue. You know, I was in a gun shop a few weeks ago, and I down in where is that one, Jason? Loveland, Longmont, Longmont, down by Boulder. And, you know, Colorado's pretty anti-gun. I mean, they're pretty hard-wing, at least the cities, Boulder and the Front Range in Denver, they're pretty anti-gun. And here's a guy that's got a gun shop in there, a good gun shop, good prices, and I bought a holster from him, and I told him, I said, you guys are like Psalms 23, you know. And he looked at me like I was speaking Swahili. And I said, yeah, you know, I said, the Lord prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. I said, here you guys are right in the middle of basically anti-gunners, and you're thriving. Thank you. I appreciate that, what you're doing. And this guy was in his 40s, looked to be ex-military. And he was like, Psalms? How do you spell that? He had never heard of that. And he was a white guy. And I said, let me write it down for you. I wrote it down. I said, Google that. I said, you know, that's in the Bible. And he just, you could tell it was confusion in his eyes. So I wrote it down for him, Psalms 23. I said, yeah, look it up sometime. And there's generations out there, just like this 28-year-old, that's buying a Bible for the first time, saying I'm starting my walk with God. There's some out there that are seeking, and again, there's that opportunity for us to be there in word and deed to help them along. Well, people like that need someone to explain that Bible to them sometime. When I met Pastor Peters, I knew that Bible like nobody you knew. I could quote everything and stuff like that, but I didn't understand it. And you got to understand it. In fact, when you start reading the Bible, you go back to Genesis, and there's two creations there, which really throws a curve in a lot of people, because he made man and woman, he rested the seventh day, and then he made another man, put him to sleep, and took a rib out. See, and that's a huge difference when you realize they're not all the same, you know. And then you go further down the street, you find the Abrahamic covenant, and that, and then you get that squared away, and that's the foundation. And but most people, you know, go to First John, whatever, you know, and all New Testament. Well, I hate that word too. It's Original Testament and the Enlightened Testament. That's what it is. You know, you can't build a house without a foundation, and you have the Original Testament is what that amounts to. It's not the Old Testament, but there is a new covenant that God made in Hebrews, and that's an absolute fact. And everything's different, you know. And I read about Paul. He was having trouble with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, want to go back to Moses' law, and then it's grace. But see, that's what we have people to do that are living totally on the grace side. But you need that anchor of the law also. We are saved by grace, no two ways about it, but we keep the law out of respect for God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's all one picture, and you got to bring that together in your mind. But see, these people are seeking, but they're going to need somebody to show them the way. When I was in, I don't know how old I was, in my 30s or so, when I met Pastor Peters, and it's just like, you know, a switch come on once you know who's who, and it's very, very important, you know. But I don't know if you need to talk to a girl like that about that kind of stuff, because she needs to, you know, get her foundation under to even get a start. So you've got to use your discretion when you're talking to someone, because we always want to take them right to the revelation and get it over with, but that just ain't how it works. This life is a journey, you know. Life's to be lived, not preserved. So, yeah, anyway, it is an encouraging, really. You know, it is the gospel. It's the good news. And, you know, why does the heathen rage? You know, God sits in the heavens and laughs, and we got to stand on that and laugh ourselves. You know, these people, they think they got it, but they don't. Well, actually, if you think what's going on, he's sending them in a state of confusion, because there is no bond in that group except money. That's the only bond they have. You know, they're all cold as an ice when it comes down to loving their neighbor. They could care less that, you know, they sacrifice in the wars. They have no heart.
Amen. I saw an interesting article, and just kind of put some things into perspective. I know we tried to encourage people to, you know, shop local, this and that, know your farmer. But this one is titled 27 Plus Walmart Statistics, Customer Stores, and More in 2024. And I highlighted a couple of the things, but it was just going down some of this. Walmart statistics, key data. Walmart serves over 37 million customers per day and over 230 million customers per week. 57% of prefer Walmart for groceries, compared to 15% who prefer Amazon. Walmart is the world's largest retailer, with over 10,482 locations in 24 countries. Walmart controls 6.3% of the U.S. retail e-commerce market and 25.2% of the grocery store chain market. In the fiscal year 2023, Walmart generated $82 billion in global e-commerce sales. In the fiscal year ending January 31 of 23, Walmart's worldwide revenue was approximately $611 billion. 92% of Walmart's customers are loyal. Walmart Marketplace had over 151,000 sellers in 2022, 60.21% increase from 21. And it goes on and on and on. But, boy, you start looking at these numbers, and it just, you know, 92% of people that are loyal to and shopping at Walmart, 57% of people prefer Walmart for groceries. I mean, just it's just like, wow.
Yeah. The next question is compared to what choices do they have? You know what I mean? I know in our area, like, you may end up doing some grocery shopping at Walmart because there really isn't any other choice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Are there,
And I get that. I mean, and I know that there's a lot of places that, I mean, people do that because that's what there is to shop at.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, that's just, it's interesting. It's like, wow. So it's, we're living in some strange things going on sometimes.
Although, you know, Johnny, Josh said earlier that with money, you know, we all strive for money. We got to take care of our basic needs, family and food and all that stuff like that. And that's true. Absolutely true. You know, and, I see there's a new song out. I've seen the headline, inflation has taken my beer money. Well, how good is that? But my point is, when I don't care how broke you are, don't forget to tithe to God will bless you. You take the widow's mite, she gave her last penny, and that was bigger than because most people give from their excesses. So if the tighter this gets, don't forget to tithe, because that God, he will bless you, because that is a true source of faith. What you do, you know, you can judge a man by what he does with his money primarily. You know, if he builds up, you know, monuments to himself, or, you know, whatever, or if he's quiet, whatever. But a man's money is his barometer of his faith.
Amen. I agree 100%. I mean, it's, you know, and we've talked about it, you know, quite a bit before. It's, you know, you can't outgive God. And, you know, there's, when you do that, I mean, it's, you know, there's, you do it out of obedience, but then there's that scripture and it talks about the devourer being rebuked also. And I really believe that, well, I believe that that's true. And that when you do that, you know, God, it sets you apart and God protects you.
Absolutely. I've heard it described God's crazy math. He can do more with 90% than you can do with 120%. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. It's just a biblical truth that's not it's not taught in the Judeo-Christian church world, that's for sure.
Well, you know, back at about the time of Einstein, there was a mathematician named Kurt Gödel, and he was working on it was called the set of all sets, and it was like a mathematician. You know, all the college guys were mathematicians, were all crazy about it back in the day. He was trying to create a mathematical proof that would calculate the basic foundations of infinity so that theoretically you could know the mind of God. And he ended up proving the opposite, that he ended up calling it an incompleteness proof. But he said it couldn't be defined because to try ends up producing an endless array of self-inclusive paradoxes, to quote his words. If infinity is the mind of God, then the mind of God cannot be known by man, and it can't be duplicated. And I think that's, you know, that's probably as close to a academic's idea of defining God. You know, we would say, who can know the mind of God? You know, that's what it is. And we see them trying with things like AI. They're trying to bring back this Babel. I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, they call their translators, what is it, Babelfish, or, you know, different things like that. It's like they're trying to undo God's work at every opportunity, but God throws them back on the heap of, you know, on the dung heap of humanity every time. I mean, without fail. And it's interesting that when we talk about money, when it really boils down to it, and all the studies come back to groceries or to food or to whatever, and there's so much duplication in the Bible of that. I mean, the Garden of Eden was the original sin that cast him out of the Garden of Eden was about, what, fruit of the tree. Many of Christ's miracles in the Bible relate back to things like wine, loaves and fishes. He took his disciples and he said, you know, stop fishing here for the food and I'll make you fishers of men. I mean, it goes back to that and to the benefit and the most basic element of human existence and belief in God is, and he uses that as a, what do you want to call it, a stick or a carrot? It depends on which one it is, which one you need, but it goes on all the time.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, you Yeah, I've seen a lot of that stuff, Tim, what you're talking about, where people set out their mind, and they're trying to understand the mind of Christ and or mind of God, and you can't, they simply get to the point and they just can't do it. I mean, you can't do it, you know. And if we had a God that we could understand, he wouldn't be that all-powerful God that he is.
Absolutely.
Our ways are not, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are his ways are not our ways. Well, looks like Warren's calling. And good morning, Warren.
Yeah, I just had kind of a, I don't know if it'd be a spiritual thought or whatever. You guys are talking about infinity. You know that,
yep.
Well, you know what they call the, you know, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You know, the blessed eternity or whatever. You know, those cannot be separated. You know, the number three cannot be divided or separated in any way. It goes on and on and on. I mean, no matter what kind of calculator you got, unless, you know, I made a mistake, but that's, I just have to think about that. You can't separate the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, just that you can't divide the number three. It goes on forever, and so does the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Good thought.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
Well, God bless you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, Warren. Have a good
okay.
day.
You too.
Bye. Yeah, well, and it looks like there were some, well, we had some changes in the weather this week. I know, Josh, you said it got cold down there, and it looks like it it got a little colder up there where you're at, Paul.
Yeah, nothing serious, you know, in the 20s and stuff like that, and now it's going to thaw for a couple of days. But, and, yeah, we had a big, well, weather forecast. We're going to have a blizzard, and we had about almost 2 inches of snow. And they shut school down and everything just on a forecast. So it's really crazy. Now, along the lake, they got some more snow, but that's common. So, it ain't.
2 inches of snow shuts everything down here.
No, it's well, see, people are fearful. You take a school administrator, you know, he's afraid of being sued. You know, if they have bad weather and stuff like that, everybody's scared. You know, attorneys and stuff have everybody scared. If we do this, we do that. It don't matter. You can't turn it. They'll take it from either side. They're afraid. You know, they have no faith. I used to go back at the school in blizzard. You shouldn't have never been out in compared to today. But, yeah, it's insane.
That maybe fear comes from not having that relationship and not being grounded on the rock. Like I said, there's no telling what kind of antidepressants and mind-altering drugs that I'd have to be on to try to make it without that. You can understand why people are in the shape that they're in.
Yeah,
I don't think we got a clue how many people are on antidepressants. You know, and you start looking around. I mean, it's in my extended family around here on both sides that are on antidepressants, you know, just to make it through the day. Well, you see, God brings that depression on you, so you turn to him, but instead you turn to the sorcerers. So, yeah.
Have you ever met somebody that was on an antidepressant that wasn't depressed?
You think there's a connection?
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it's like every person that I know that's on antidepressants is a depressed person. And it's like, okay, so is this working for you or is it not? And then, you look at...
Well, it would be so much worse without it.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not making fun of anybody that's on it or anything like that. I'm just saying it's you know, I was talking with a family member a while back and talking to him and you know, just it was depressing to talk to him. And I asked him, I said, are you on antidepressants? And yeah. And it's like, well, I don't think that they're working for you. And, you know, you start reading the side effects on so many of those things. And, it's, you know, cannot or does cause, could cause thoughts of suicide and making you suicidal. Well, I thought that, you know, that that's what it was supposed to help with. And, you know, and it's just, I mean, like Paul, like you said, you're dealing with the sorcerers. I was talking with somebody the other day and they were, you know, saying, oh, we were on this and this and this and this and, you know, and then they went to, you know, a different doctor and doctor says, oh, you can't be taking that stuff together. That stuff, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, and it just, you know, sometimes it's just, they just roll the dice and they just throw stuff at people. So many of these things, it's and I've seen it happen firsthand, is that can just, you know, be addressed through proper nutrition and eating right. And sometimes it's really, you know, simple, just, you know, mineral imbalances that, you know, a person has, or people are dehydrated, or, you know, who knows what it is. I mean, there's a lot of different unique situations, but it's so easy to get the drugs, and it's, you know, it seems so simple. And, you know, it's,
you think about it, the worse job that your doctor does, the more he gets paid. Because he gets to write you more and more prescriptions, and you come back more and more often.
That's why they call it practicing medicine. You know, practicing, let's try this. And come back and see me in 3 months and see how it works. So 3 months later, didn't work. Okay, well, let's try that. And that's what they do. But, you know, again, Tim, you mentioned an awakening. There's an awakening happening. This guy that was just shot up, the head of the big healthcare group, you know, there's more talk that this healthcare group made $300 billion last year. And there's more talk about that than about this killing. And that's that it is a good thing that it's being talked about. That, you know, how does a healthcare company that has three times the rejections of anybody else, of any other healthcare company, make $300 billion? I don't want any part to do with it. Don't get me wrong, but it's being exposed. These things are coming out. You know, they are. I saw a guy sent me an email yesterday, and it was an interview, and they're saying, you know, it makes more money in this nation than anything else is a sick child, because the doctor makes money on him, the hospital makes money on him, the healthcare makes money on him, the government makes money, on and on and on. And so why would they want to get rid of that?
RFK broke that down. Just that's a lifetime money-producing venture right there. And how much?
See, that's good. That needs to have a voice out in the public. It really does, for people to see the insanity of this Babylon that we live in.
Well, man, we are out of time. Thank you for being here this morning. And, folks, we thank you for tuning in and being with us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Remember to join us for church tomorrow by going to scripturesforamerica.org.
Everything you wanted to know about gun control and preachers were afraid to tell you is the eyebrow-raising title of a hard-hitting essay now available in pamphlet format for a $6 offering U.S. funds, and for a lot less when ordered in bulk. It's an excellent tool to place in the hands of all true Christian men, especially those in uniform. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, quote, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." End quote. So send a $6 offering U.S. funds and just ask for gun control. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Once again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you very much for your continuing prayers and support.
Romans 13 can be hard for Christians to understand. What should be our relationship with the government? When do authorities step outside their lawfully appointed powers? Where should Christians draw the line?